Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Tonight, we're going to revisit the miracle. I love to talk about the miracles of Christ in particular. Other miracles, yes, but the miracles of Christ. And following this series, we're going to do miracles of the apostles. And we study the miracles of Christ, and one of the reasons, in some way or another, even tonight, most of us would admit in some area we need a miracle. There are so many situations that we will face in life that are beyond the reach of man or the skill of man or the wisdom of man. A doctor could not help us, but he would if he could. A counselor can't always fix a relationship, but the counselor of the Holy Spirit can. And so many times we find ourselves in need of a supernatural miracle, or what I call divine intervention. And one of my, in fact, favorite definitions of prayer is by a very famous man who happened to be a friend of my brother-in-law, Dutch Sheets. Most of you know who he is. And this is his definition of prayer. Prayer is us giving God earthly license for heavenly interference. It's us saying, God, we want you to interfere in our affairs. We invite you. I thought that was a good definition of prayer. It's us admitting that our situation is beyond our reach and we need help that only God and God alone can give. So as I talk about this story, I want it to come alive to you. I want to imagine that you were there. This was a real event, not a parable. There really were 10 lepers, and the number 10 is going to be significant. The number 10 represents the law, and it also represents judgment. It represents the law and judgment, so hold that thought in your mind. And the first lesson is an obvious one tonight, and I'm going to state some facts. There were 10 lepers, and they had an incurable disease. There were 10 lepers, and they were terminal. This incurable disease means that they were terminal. They were going to die. The very first lesson that we take is that we already know, before we begin to study, that Jesus healed 10 out of 10. He did not heal 9 out of 10, or 5, half of them, or 2 out of 10, or 3 out of 10. He healed 10 out of 10. That alone is a very powerful lesson for you and I, because many times throughout the Bible, when Jesus was ministering to people, the words were used in the Word of God, he healed them all. The word all becomes significant because we are a group here. That means all of us may be healed by Jesus. So I'm going to read to you, in case you don't understand, that truly is God's will that we are healed, body, soul, and spirit. Let me read a verse to you, 3 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, that's us, I desire above all other things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And what this is saying, in the same way that your soul is healed, I want your body to be healed. We are to be made whole through Christ. Through the cross, that is possible. And we're going to be talking tonight about the disease of leprosy, which still exists today, by the way. The disease of leprosy is an infectious disease, a communicable disease, and it is to this very date, some will tell you it's curable. It is not curable. It is not 100% curable. People still die today with leprosy. There are things that they can do. There are medications they can give to stop it, to slow it down. But there, sometimes when the damage is done, there is no turning back. So we need to know that going, and that is the facts. You don't hear about it as much today. Leprosy affects the nerve endings in the body. It destroys the flesh. It can actually lay dormant in your body for up to 20 years before any symptoms occur. It damages nerves and muscle tissue, and as it progresses, becomes extremely painful, more painful than cancer. It is highly contagious. As it progresses, a person afflicted will begin to waste away before your eyes. They will slowly lose fingers, toes, a foot, a hand, ears, nose, legs, etc. Something you may not know is eventually they lose their voice, which I'm going to discuss later, which I find is so amazing. Use your voice before you lose your voice. So I'm going to address that a little bit. Something that I find interesting that was absolutely not known back in Bible days because there was lack of scientific and medical research is that leprosy today, we know, can be passed genetically through the womb and to other family members. It can be passed genetically. You do not want leprosy. Can I say that? Even if it's somewhat treatable, detected in time, you do not want it. It can lead to serious complications. It will hasten your death because other things can happen as a result of you contracting leprosy. And there is no 100% medical cure. And by all research, we are told that leprosy is worse, dying of leprosy, than cancer. With cancer, you're eaten up. You have all kinds of pain. That is true. They can address the pain, but you cannot address limbs falling off, can you? And noses falling off and the complications that come with that. But here's the deal. Leprosy is a type of sin. It represents sin. It is presented to us as sin is its counterpart, likeness. And in so ways, many ways they are similar. Sometimes, remember I said, you don't experience the effects. It can be dormant in your body for 20 years, but it's still there. Sin is contagious, isn't it? It spreads. It can spread to family members. It can be passed genetically. We're born into sin, sadly. But how many of you know that through the consequences of sin that can be dormant, you can do something and 20 years later, all of a sudden the symptoms are here and it shows up and somebody has a child. We didn't know who the father was and now we do. Things show up later. So leprosy is a type of sin or sin is a type of leprosy. But I want to say some things here before we begin. The only 100% cure for leprosy is Jesus. And the only 100% cure or remedy for sin is Jesus and the consequences or punishment of sin. He is the antidote. The blood is the antidote. The blood is the medicine that we need. And that's why when people are ill, many, many times, one of the first things I advise, even if you're going to take medication, and I do agree with that 100%, the greatest medication is the blood of Jesus, and I believe in the receiving of communion when you are ill. Now, I'm going to give you some facts tonight because I think these things are so cool. I love that this miracle is only found in the book of Luke. So I want to talk about Luke in particular for a minute as we set the foundation for this. Of course he would be. It's just a no-brainer almost. He would be the one interested in this disease and in this particular healing that Jesus wrought. And it is because there's a reason for that. Luke was a physician. He was a medical doctor. He was interested in healings and things like this and sicknesses of call. And I want to give you some history on him. All of the books of the Bible were written by Jewish writers, except the book of Luke and the book of Acts were written by Luke, who was a Gentile. He was a Gentile believer. In fact, he was a Greek believer. But I will tell you, Luke himself, St. Luke, wrote more of the New Testament than Paul the Apostle, but by volume and also by word content and count. So there you have it. It's Luke. He wins. Tonight he wins, okay? We always say Paul wrote so much. No, Luke wrote more by volume and content and word count. So statistics on Luke. He was a humble man. He was known as a humble man. That can be borne out through the word of God. He was also a very educated man. You don't get to be a doctor, even in them days, without having some wisdom and a little bit of education. He was a companion of Paul. And the primary reason he was interested in this miracle is because of his profession, being a doctor or physician. He was a medical doctor. Also, interesting is that Luke never one time addresses himself as a physician. He never addresses himself as one of Paul's companions, although he uses the term we. He never mentions his profession, but Paul does. Let not yourself praise you but another, right? He never one time mentions something else interesting, that he gave up his medical practice and he gave up practicing medicine to travel with Paul and to care for Paul in particular. Instead, his focus became on the work of the great physician and not on what he could do as a physician, but on the great physician was always his focus. Now, I once told you a story that I want to tell one more time for those who did not hear it the first time in the first class. It's a story of a pastor, and it wasn't that long ago in 1996, Pastor Jack Hinton from New Bern, North Carolina, went to minister as a missionary to a leper colony on the island of Tumbango in 1996. How many of you remember 1996? I was alive then, not long ago. As he was leading the worship at the leper colony in Tumbango, he asked for song requests one night. A woman he had not noticed in the congregation lifted her hand up, and he acknowledged her. He did notice that part of her nose was gone and her ears were being eaten away. I mean, you're in a leper colony. You're ministering in a leper colony, which you have to have shots and all kinds of things. She had raised her hand to present a song request, and when he called on her, she said, "Could we sing Count Your Blessings?" In 1 second, he noticed, as she had lifted her hand, that she only had two fingers. Her fingers were eating away, and it hit him suddenly. Count your blessings, and you, ma'am, don't even have fingers to count your blessings. He said it shook him to his very core. And someone after the service said to him, "I bet you'll never sing that song again." He said, "I bet I'll sing that song for the rest of my life, because if she can sing it, I can sing it and should sing it." I thought it was a powerful testimony. It wasn't from all that long ago. So these things are still going on, whether we want to believe it or not. But tonight we're going to get into the story of the 10 lepers. We're going to see a man in particular in the story, within the story. There's a story within the story. And let me put it to you like this. Most of the miracles of Jesus, the primary focus is on the miracles of Jesus. But this is twofold. And the primary focus is not on the miracle that took place, although it was a powerful and amazing miracle to hear see 10 lepers healed. The focus of this miracle, Jesus puts it on the fact that there was one who was grateful and thankful. So we're going to see a man. And first of all, we need to note, if you're taking notes, that this man is a man who was an outcast. He was doubly marginalized. By that, I mean he had two strikes against him. Number one, he had leprosy, which was a frowned upon, looked down upon disease. And secondly, he was a Samaritan, and they were the lowest of the low, considered the outcast of society. Have you ever felt like you had a lot against you and you still had a great need in your life, but you had a lot of strikes against you? I'm going to take the time to read Luke chapter 17, just verses 11 to 19. And it came to pass, before I do this, let me tell you this, that this miracle took place as Jesus was on his way to the cross and entering Jerusalem and right before the raising of Lazarus. And so this comes into play. Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19, and it came to pass Jesus went to Jerusalem and passed through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, that there were 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off, which represents the law. They had to, according to Leviticus 13, 44 to 46. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, in other words, as they were obedient to the command of Christ, they were cleansed, which in this context means forgiven and healed, the completion of the atonement. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. Okay, here's where I tell you that in the end of leprosy, the last thing you lose is your voice. Use your voice before you lose your voice. That's another lesson. And fell down on his face in worship at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, none except this one stranger, this outcast, this outsider, this Samaritan. And Jesus said to him, "Arise, rise up." By the way, that's be resurrected. Go your way. Your faith has made you whole and complete in every way. What a miracle. Jesus healed all 10. Now, here's the deal. He didn't ask one of them. He didn't speak out and say, one of you are worse than the other. I can't do that. One of you have gone too far. You've sinned too much. You've done too much. I cannot offer you mercy at this time. He healed all of them without exception who came to him. He showed mercy, and that's a lesson for all of us that they were all healed. And first, we have to acknowledge that we are all lepers. If you say that sin is a type of leprosy, all of us have a sin condition. We were born into sin. We have the potential to sin, and sin has therefore the potential to kill us. And we all need mercy. We all need the cross, and Jesus is available to all of us. And without Jesus, our condition will remain incurable, and it will remain terminal. Here's the sad thing about leprosy. This is the saddest of all. It's not even the disease. It's not even the disease, I feel, that's the saddest, my opinion. When a person had this disease, they were discovered to be unclean, they were banished to a leper colony. They were not allowed to say goodbye to their husband, their wife, their children, their mother, their father, their sister, their brothers. They couldn't hug them, they couldn't touch them, and there would be no visitors at the hospital. No one could go near them. So they were separated from their family. Again, I say to you, leprosy is as a type of sin. Will sin not separate you from those you love? Will it not destroy your relationships where they become terminal and incurable? Sin will affect you, and it will infect your body, your soul, and your spirit. And here's another sad reality. Lepers can't help other lepers. All lepers were required by the law to cry out when others who were not infected came near them, unclean, unclean. Let me tell you something else about sin and about leprosy. Sin humiliates us. With sin, there is shame. Why did I get this? How did I get this? What did I do? And why me? And the law forbid the lepers to get near the healed, and the law forbid the healed to come to the lepers. So if healed people couldn't go and try to help you, and you couldn't go to them and try to receive help. Talk about a desperate situation, right? So when Jesus was passing by, these 10, while they still had their voice, were desperate. They cried out, but for mercy. Because the law forbid Jesus to come to them. But remember, Jesus is the lawgiver. He's above the law. He is the law. He is the fulfillment of the law through the cross. Often people can't get to Jesus, but Jesus can always get to them. Jesus can always get to you. And So can I say something else? And I shared this at a church that I was teaching at a few years back. Call on Jesus. I don't care how far you've gone, where you've been, what you've done, what your sickness is. Call on Jesus. I find as I study God's word, he always comes when you call. He comes to us by invitation. He does not force himself on us, but Jesus will always come when we call. Here is something great. Once you were healed of leprosy, once you were healed, if that should ever be the case, the restrictions of the law were then lifted off of you. And you could go and have the priest examine you, and the pastor would tell everybody in town it's okay to have fellowship with them. It's okay to touch them. And it was so interesting that when you are sick, and I find this to be true even today of various diseases and things, you just see somebody who gets cancer, and I have actually heard people say, I wonder what they did. I wonder what kind of sin they committed. But we find in the Bible that that's not the way it worked. It rains on the just and the unjust. And here's the thing. As I was studying today in my office and I was reading stories of people in the Bible days, here are the statistics. Often, leprosy was looked down on, remember, as the judgment of God. It was looked on. If you had leprosy, what did you do wrong? And there are situations that I read of where rabbis and them would throw rocks at the lepers to add to the judgment that they felt God was giving these lepers. Who does that, and who made you the rock thrower? You know, even if that was judgment, which it was not. And this is why Jesus makes a point to heal them. I believe part of it so much just out of love and mercy. He never asked them. He never told them they didn't deserve it. He showed great, great mercy. And he did tell them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were obedient, they were healed. In other words, Don't hide this great miracle that Jesus has done in your life. Go to the priest and get him to confirm it, and he will tell people, you tell people. How bad, let me ask you a question, how bad does our life have to get before we are willing to obey the word of God? What do we have to lose in life before we are willing to obey God's commands, whether that's to tithe, whether that's to love your neighbor, whether that is to forsake not the assembling? What do we have to lose? An arm, a leg, a child, a marriage, a friendship? Sin is deadly. It is a leprosy. I want to address a fact that in verse 15 we are told that one of them, this is the man who was thankful, okay? First 15 says, one of them, when he saw, and I want to stop right there with the word saw. This is not when he looked at his skin and seen with his physical eyes. The word here for when he saw, when he received a revelation that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. People, we need to get loud about what God has done in our life. We need to tell people what God has done in our life. And this verse in 15, that he got loud and he began worshiping and praising and thanking God. But let's go back to verse 13. In verse 15, the one who was thankful got loud. But I want us to take a trip back to verse 13 where we first see the lepers, and I want to read that to you. And they, the lepers, lifted up their voices and with a loud cry said, Jesus, have mercy on us. They were able to cry when they needed Jesus in desperation, but then they didn't cry out in praise to him later, the nine of them. Do you see that there was only one that used his voice a second time? This one was not just crying out for what Jesus could do for him. He was willing to go back and cry out in a loud voice in thanksgiving and praise and worship to God. So if God has done anything for you, it's time to get loud. It's time to go back and praise God and thank God for that, because sometimes we forget. And Jesus addressed this situation when he said, were there not 10 clean, where are the nine? Now, for many years, I had asked myself that question. That's a very good Jesus question. But I'm smart enough to know that any question God asks us in his word, God asks anyone in his word, is a question also for me. Like, go back all the way to Genesis. Where is your brother? That's a question to me. That's a question. All those questions in the Bible are questions to us. So where are the nine? So I asked myself that question, and I also asked the Holy Spirit that question. And this is the answer I received, I believe, from the Holy Spirit. The other nine went right back to their families. They didn't go back to Jesus, but they went back to their old life. I don't know what they did, but they went back to their businesses. They went back to their husband and their wife. And here's the thing. They were excited about the healing, no doubt. I have no doubt about that. But were they excited about the healer? The who? It's one thing for me to get excited about what Jesus does for me. It's another for me to get excited about the Jesus who does it for me. There's a big difference in that. But the one we see got an additional blessing when Jesus gave him, he said, you may be made whole, complete. You are complete. He wasn't just healed. He received shalom, which is peace, which means nothing broken, nothing missing, all restored, resurrected, finances back on track, relationships restored. He got more by thanking and praising God. But here I want to talk to you about the fact real quickly, and he was a Samaritan. You know that Jesus was Jewish, and Samaritans hated Jews, and Jews hated Samaritans. But isn't it interesting how life has its twists and turns? And when you're in the leper colony, there's no such thing as I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. We are lepers. And you know what? That's what we need to realize in life.
let nothing separate us. We can't say that one is better by economic status or race or gender or anything else, because the reality is we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and we're more alike than we are different, and that's something we really need to remember. And sometimes a common problem shared can cause us to understand each other more. And we absolutely, there was a poem that I have remembered all of my life, and I heard this as a child. If I knew you and you knew me, and if both of us could clearly see, in other words, have a revelation, and with an inner sight divine that comes from God, the meaning of your heart and mine, I'm sure that we would differ less, and we would join our hands together in thankfulness if only I knew you and you knew me. If we really would get to know each other and have the compassion. But the implication in Jesus saying that he was a Samaritan was that all of them were not Samaritans. They could have been, but who knows? Were the nine of them Jewish and just a Samaritan? We don't know. But we know that Jesus pointed out that it was a Samaritan. It was someone who should have hated me that came back and thanked me. And it's impressive, because you would have thought any who were Jewish would have surely come back and thanked their Jewish rabbi for this healing. So where are the nine? But I want to point out to you a couple things in this story that are very, very good. Janice, could you grab my phone for me? I've got some notes on there that I took, I mean, literally the last minute. The number 10 does have meaning. It represents the law. And Jesus is greater than the law. We know that the law, there were 10 commandments. God gave us 10 commandments. That was a reflection of his expectations of mankind and as a way to represent his holiness. The first four commandments were vertical towards God, and the last six were horizontal, our human relationships addressing. And there were not 15, there were not 20, there were 10. And if all of these were kept, we would have lived in peace and harmony, but we know that we could not keep the law. We were the lawbreakers. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law when he took the punishment of the law. There were 10 elders at the city gates for Israel, representing government. There were 10 plagues of Egypt, representing the judgment of God. There were 10 generations up until the flood of Noah. 10 represents the law of God and God's judgment. And Jesus healing the 10 was sending a message to each and every one of us that the law kills and the law destroys, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. I have come, I have overcome the law. So there's a few thoughts that I had, and our praise team's going to come and worship. I'm going to continue on the miracles of Christ next week and then go into the apostles. There's a few lessons. First, Jesus told them to go to the priest. And he did not heal them in what you would call a supernatural instant. It was supernatural, but it was not instant. He did not heal them immediately. In fact, he tested their faith in this respect. He told them to go to the priest. He tested their faith, and he required obedience. You have to be a part of your own miracle. What am I talking about? I'm talking about you have to be willing to receive the miracle. You have to be willing to accept the cross and what Jesus has done and have faith. So he tested their faith in telling them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now I want to say something to you. Obedience, your healing, your miracle may depend on your obedience. It may depend on you being obedient to the commands of God, such as obedience to forsake not the assembling, or in the best area I can think of is the tithing. It really is, because here's the thing. If I am obedient to God, it leads to my miracle blessing. It leads to an overflow. Loving your neighbor leads to better relationships. Obedience to do that leads to better relationships. There's so much there. But also, I had a question in my heart. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told them to go to the priest and show themselves, but this man was not, I mean, he was not on his way to the priest. So was he disobedient in going back to Jesus instead of going to the priest? And here's the best answer I could come up with. Absolutely not. He didn't go to a priest. He went to the great high priest. He went to the great high priest, so he was not out of line at all. If you go to the great high priest, that's greater. So he was not being disobedient. Another point I want to make is that Jesus was at this very time on his way to the cross. A horrific death he was about to suffer. And although no one showed him mercy, all on his way to the cross and even hanging on the cross, he was still showing others mercy. He took the time to heal these men. Another point. Jesus was not infected by touching or getting close to the lepers. And in Matthew 8:3, now in this case, Jesus gave them a command to go to the priest. But in Matthew 8:3, we see clearly that Jesus was not afraid to touch lepers. In fact, he touched the leper there. He touched him. He was not affected and he was not infected. In fact, he affected the leper because the healing anointing flowed through him. So I would say to you and I, don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't if God presents you with an opportunity. I had an opportunity to pray for someone once with COVID, and I was unafraid, and that is I got COVID, but not from them and not at that time. But I want to tell you, when the anointing of Christ and you're operating in the anointing and under the anointing, you don't have to be afraid that their sin will get off on you or that something will happen to you. Because we have the anointing of Christ. Instead, sinners should be changed by the anointing of God that flows through us. And I am so thankful that this particular miracle teaches us so many things. Forget about the law. The law we could never fulfill. It's the love. Love is greater than the law. The law is one thing, but love is altogether another. When you meet the giver of the law, who's the one who died for you and I. And I am so thankful that because of that, we can all be healed. We can all be made 100% whole. So we're going to take a time here to worship. And if you have any need in your life and you just lift your hands, I believe that God will touch you. He will make you whole. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, as we stand tonight as an act of our faith, Father God. Lord, we come to you. We cry out to you, Father God. And Lord, we cry out to you. I want to cry out to you first in thankfulness. Before we cry out to you and we tell you all of our needs, and they're plenty, God. You know it already. But Lord, I want to cry out to you for the many times that you have healed our bodies or we would never be here. All the good things you have blessed us with. We are a thankful people, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.